Will you pray with me? May your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May it inspire us. May it upset us. May it motivate us and startle us so that we become reflections of your light. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in the ninth chapter of Luke this morning. This is Transfiguration Sunday. We begin with the 28th verse. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighted down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent in those days, told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. The Gospel of the Lord. There are those moments in life that just seem to change everything you thought you knew. Perhaps for you, it was a moment in your formal education. That's how it happened for me, a moment of epiphany. We are in the season of epiphany. When concepts fit together in a new way and everything you were trying to learn became so much clearer. There are moments that changed the course of your future. Perhaps it was the first time you laid eyes on the person that you love. Perhaps it was the moment you held your child for the first time. Perhaps it was in the room with a parent or a sibling or someone you loved as they died. Those are all holy moments. Sometimes, though, I think we get caught up in the joy or the sorrow or the intensity of the surprise of the moment, and we miss the holiness of the moment. 8 days before Peter watched in shock and awe, Jesus' face changed and his clothing turned to lightning, and that's how the Greek reads here, lightning, Peter made his famous one and only home run statement. 8 days earlier, when Jesus asked Peter, "Who do others say that I am?" he responded with all the latest gossip. Some say you're John the Baptist, come back to life. Some say you're Elijah. Then Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" "You are the Messiah." That moment, Peter's confession, was perhaps his most shining moment. Then 8 days later, Peter stood on the top of a mountain with Jesus. Now, to the ancient writers of our scripture, gazing at distant mountains, the top of a mountain seemed to be the place where the earth touched the sky, where the realm of humanity might touch the realm of the gods. Humans worshipped on mountaintops. Our Old Testament refers to them as high places, and then when clouds enveloped the high places, humans watched and listened carefully, for they believed God was about to move and about to speak. In Judaism, by the end of the 7th century, only one mountain was the appropriate place to worship God, and that was Mount Zion in Jerusalem, where the temple stood. But one time, Moses left the chaos of his encamped people and the flocks and the animals and the children playing and enjoyed some respite from leading the children of Israel through the wilderness and hiked up a mountain to meet God. And as he approached the mountain, a cloud descended. And Moses stayed on the top of the mountain in the cloud for a week. And God spoke to him, something in that day believed to be deadly. No one could see the face of God and live. But for Moses, it was a life-giving experience. He came down from that high place a changed man. To those who may have assumed he was dead, his face was shining, and the people were so terrified he had to wear a veil. Then we have the story of Jesus. 8 days after Jesus saw this glimmer of hope in his disciples, heard the words from them, "You are the Messiah," Jesus took his closest companions, Peter, James, and John, on an afternoon walk up a mountain. And on the mountain, something happened that defies description. His clothing becomes dazzling light. His face changed. Moses and Elijah appear and talk to him about his approaching death, a topic his own closest companions refused to engage in. A cloud descended, and the three friends became terrified. They heard a voice. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." It was such an experience that they never even tried to tell anyone about it who did not experience it for a long, long time. You and I have had experiences that changed the course of our lives. Perhaps you don't talk about those moments very often, and perhaps you talk about it freely. Some people have that gift. Peter's initial response to all this was to start a building campaign, to claim the holy mountaintop as his own and fight to keep it. After all, this is where Peter saw Moses and Elijah. He wanted to claim the place, build a monument, just live there. But there was something more important than Moses and Elijah. The voice. The voice that said, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." 3 times in the Gospels, a significant voice is heard speaking life-giving information about Jesus. At his baptism, "This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." At his crucifixion, the most unlikely voice, a Roman soldier, says, "Surely this man was the Son of God." And on the mountaintop, the voice tells Peter, James, and John, and us, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Peter was not always real good at listening. He was pretty good at arguing, but he was being told, "Listen to Jesus." He has the authority of the prophet Elijah and the recipient of the law, Moses. Listen to him. When we have those life-changing moments, we need to listen to what they're saying. We need to listen to Jesus. Listen as he says, "Whoever welcomes this child welcomes me." Listen as he tells about an outcast who stops along the side of the road to bind up the wounds of his enemy. Listen to him as he talks about a father run down the road and open his arms to welcome his son home. Listen as he says, "Love your enemy. Love one another." Listen as he says, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Listen and watch as he gives his life away for others. Listen as he says, "Do not be afraid, little flock. Today you will be with me in paradise. Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Listen as he says, "The one who saves his life will lose it, and the one who loses his life for my sake will find it." Listen, because the mountaintop experience is not a place. It is a gift of God to enrich your everyday life. No formula, no incantation will bring it to you. God brings you the mountaintop experience in love. And that mountaintop experience is where the boundary between the temporal and the eternal is suspended for a moment. And it changes you so that you can see and understand the world differently, so that you may change the world around you. It happens because God wants us to listen to Jesus and to follow him, and to follow him from that mountaintop down the mountain and back into our messy lives, into our ordinary lives, and there as clerks or nurses, teachers, attorneys, caregivers, executives, husbands and wives, men and women, we live as his people to love without reservation, to give our lives away. The mandate is clear, I think, for the church, for us as individuals. The mountaintop may be here as we experience together God's goodness and presence in beautiful music, in our relationships, hopefully in well-reasoned discourse. And for the church, here and everywhere, and for each one of us, the call is to follow the Lord down the mountain and into the valley of human need. God will bring the gift of moments of clarity and inspiration and deeply felt spiritual experience. And then, if we listen to the voice, we follow Jesus back down the mountain, and we go back to the life we are given here and live it, and we find meaning and purpose and hope and salvation in that. This is my son. Listen to him. Thanks be to God. Amen.